We glorify you. Help me this morning. Pray with me and, be another Miss Callie Pearl in our midst. And give me some amens, even if you don't like it or whatever.
Amen.
Thank you, Homer. I appreciate that. In honor, Miss Callie. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the most wonderful congregation on the planet. And Lord, we just thank you for all your goodness and mercy and grace to us. We're learning, every one of us are learning and going forward by your grace. And we just pray that you'll teach us, teach me, teach us together by the Holy Spirit. We love you so much. You're so wonderful. And we just bless those that are watching, that are part of this, are seated right here with us. And we give you all the praise and glory. Amen. The Lord said to me this past week, or he began to reveal to me that he wanted to teach on discerning of spirits. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that had been coming up at times in my spirit to speak on and teach on discerning of spirits. But it's like anything else. The more you pray and the more you spend time with God, certain subjects kind of drift off and you don't necessarily think so much about them until God brings them to the forefront of your spirit. And then you begin to know this is the mind of Christ. And as I begin to know the mind of Christ this particular week, then more and more came online. And then I realized this could only be part one because there was so much coming to me and I was writing so much down. Have pen and paper, close to where you pray. Or, I would say have your cell phone where you can take notes. But I like to have mine off a lot because right when I'm about to go into the next level of heaven, I'll get a text, I just turn it off, or you can put it on airplane mode or silence or something. But nobody means to interrupt at all. But have something where you can write something down, because the Holy Spirit is very prolific. He's very, 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 he talks. He likes to talk to you as much as you like to talk to him. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I just want you to follow along with me. And we'll look at some things, and then we're going to make some transitions here so you can see things from the mind of Christ, by which I've been praying, Lord, I want your mind in this. I don't want to stretch anything. I want to see it as I've seen it for a number of years in particular areas and how the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me even in this past week. So Paul is talking here to the Corinthians. We won't go into a whole lot about their past. They seem to be a very gift-filled church, very spiritual church, but really lacking in Christian character. And we've talked a lot about that in the past. They could speak in tongues and prophesy and see visions of all sorts, and yet they would fight one another tooth and toenail concerning party lines as far as who was in charge or who they listened to the most. And Paul had to correct them, but he also instituted teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and what we have taught before in the past and have put some substance around, which we won't so much this morning because of the subject title and purpose by which we need to get to, is that the as he wills part, as he wills being the Holy Spirit, was really predicated mostly on the part that there was an immaturity in the church. And the as he wills was to supplement the immaturity. It was to help because there was a puffed up pride. That was the main thing that they were really guilty of more than anything else, was having some kind of pride in their spirituality. And so Paul was really teaching, and if you read the whole thing in context and really do the whole peripheral type teaching on it, you'll see that as he wills, as the Holy Spirit wills, like give this gift to this one and that gift to this one, and was really an insurance. It was a safeguard against their continued pride. But the better part of all of this is brought at the end of this chapter, going into chapter 13, where the Lord speaks of a more excellent way. And that more excellent way we've also taught on, which is the incorporation of the fullness of God's love. It really is the catalyst that makes all of this, all the gifts of the Spirit, and we all of us, everyone, all of you included, I don't care if you're a pulpit minister or not, male or female, you should all yearn for, the word says, lust after, desire all the gifts. It actually says the best gifts. Well, Oral Roberts, they asked him one time, and they said, what's the best gift? He said, it's the one you need at the time. In other words, and Jesus really worked in all of the gifts. He worked in every single one of them. We don't see where it says that he actually worked in the gift of praying in tongues or interpretation. And there are reasons for that, in which I can't go into and explain right now, but I do believe I know the answer. But we know this, that the gifts are for us to profit with in the church. And really, it's God's perfect will that you're working in all the gifts. And it's not severally as he wills, but a mature church is individuals that are empty of self, filled with God, and they don't do whatever they do so some they can say, look, did you see I prophesied? Look, do you see that I laid my hands on so-and-so and they got healed? As long as that's in you, you're probably going to be a long ways away from really being used by God. But when you could care less when your name is mentioned or anyone looks, gives you a second look, it just happened. It just happened. Then you begin to be a candidate, a true candidate to be being used by God. Now let's look as Paul begins to explain some of these things concerning spiritual gifts. And there's one particular gift that we want to talk about in particular. Let's look, and that is discerning of spirits. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, and he's speaking predominantly to the Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. And of course, that word dumb does not mean mute. It doesn't mean that they were dumb as in intelligence or stupid. It means that they were muted. They could not speak. And here, right to start with, we get this connotation. Here's what's important. Dumb idols that can't speak versus Holy Spirit that does do a lot of speaking. Now you've entered into a new administration. You've left one that was satanic in its origin. It could not speak. Now you've entered into the blessed kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit, which does speak, and who does speak, and does speak quite often. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now you've got, he's not talking about repetitive words here. You can get a man on the street that doesn't know Christ to say Jesus is Lord, and he'll repeat that. So that doesn't make him born again. But he's saying that it cannot come up out of his heart and be validated by the Holy Spirit except the Holy Spirit is the one that's saying it. It's actually got to come from a place of new nature, being born again. Now, he says here in verse 4 that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's 9 gifts listed here, even in this chapter. Verse 5, and there are diversities of administrations, 5 different administrations. And we're not going to teach on all the gifts nor the 5 administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, 8 operations listed in this chapter. And we're not going to go into all and each of those different operations. But we could, but we can't for time. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit or his Spirit or Holy Spirit. This is not your Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who administrates these things. By the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts, as in plural, and that's important. We're not going to speak on that today, but that's important. Gifts of healings by the Spirit, same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, and here's our highlighted one today, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. This is not talking about the diverse kinds of tongues as in your ability to edify yourself. This is church-related. This is you speaking in tongues and someone interpreting. These two go together. That's why they're listed here together in this particular chapter. The gift of tongues is the same place where the Holy Spirit flows on your daily edification, and that you can pray in tongues at will anytime you want to. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. And we spoke some of the reasons why. But in verse 31, skipping way on down to kind of conclude this chapter, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Everybody, I hope, in here covets, and I pray that you will. Let me just say to you, kind of maybe tantalize you a little bit, pull you in a little bit, hopefully invoke some kind of Holy Ghost desire. When you're praying, it doesn't have to be every day, ask Jesus, he's the administrator, for these gifts. Ask him to fill you. Holy Spirit, talk to Holy Spirit like he is very, very real. Fill me with these gifts. Let these gifts flow in and through me as you will. Gift of miracles. Oh, and you know, if you'll get real personal, it even brings in the specifics of, and it validates. Lord, I thank you for miracles. I thank you for the gift of miracles. I thank you for the gift of faith. Gift of faith. I embrace you. You're mine. I receive you into myself and into my spirit. Lord, help me to be qualified through spiritual growth and be counted worthy that these gifts flow to and through me. Hallelujah. And if there's anything that he wants to do in these last days, is he wants to take in our mindsets that the pulpit is the place where all these things proceed, and bring us to a place where that these gifts are working among us, but specifically and mostly important, these are not just and probably predominantly not for the church, the congregation meeting. It is when we're out there winning the lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know how much more effective your witness would be? Canned witnesses don't work much anymore. I mean, as far as if you got a program witness, you got something down pat, and you're going to say, well, I learned this. But what if you walk up to somebody, the Holy Spirit says to them, he reveals a deep something that they're going through, or that their body is infirmed in a certain way. What if you've got three Jehovah Witnesses walking up to your door, and instead of, you know, I know enough about their doctrine, I can just get them, I can say about three things, and I can get them all just kind of riled up, because I know what their approach is. And same thing with the Mormons. I studied the Mormons in college, and I've got some things that I can, because they're going to ask you a question, I've got two or three spills that I know that I can immediately just disarm them. I can get them, like, you know, unless they're really, really good, I can kind of get them at bay. But that doesn't win them. That just kind of lets them know, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about, because I know their history and I know, you know, different things about them. But what if they're walking up to you and before they even start talking, you say, Jesus can heal those kidneys. Jesus, those kidneys that have been being destroyed and you've been on dialysis or you've been this or that and the other, you have totally disarmed them then. You have not only disarmed them, but better yet, you have opened up the kingdom of God to them. So gifts are so important, not just for, and maybe even less than important for us when we come together so we can show off our gifts. It's so that we can win the world. Hallelujah. So, covet earnestly the best gifts. Which one? The one, God, that I need today. And yet, and maybe that's four or five or all nine of them. Show I unto you a more excellent way. One of the most coveted gifts of the Spirit, of Holy Spirit, that will be needed in these last days will be discerning of spirits. It is part of the equipping. It's part of the equipping of the saints against deception on a, I'm going to name three areas, a personal level, a doctrinal level, and the ability to see into the spirit realm for the purposes of seeing angels or angelic and demonic activity and troop movements for both camps. And we're going to go into Word of God on this. I'll read that again because I think it's so vitally important that you catch it, because I heard it yesterday as I was writing it down. It is part of the equipping of saints against deception on a personal level, doctrinal level, and the ability to see into the spirit realm for the purposes of seeing angelic and demonic activity and troop movement for both camps, angels and demons. It's part of the equipping of the saints in regards to reigning with Christ in a seated heavenly position. And I think this is a must see. This is something that we must, all of us, get over to ourselves through the Holy Spirit, is seeing ourselves in this place of dominion. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul is, you know, there's always, anytime you turn to any chapter and verse, you've got so many outlets that you could go to. And I just really have to stay focused on where he has me for your sake and for the subject's sake. But let's look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And this is what we have to see. He set him, Christ. How many of you believe that Christ is ruling beside our Father? He is actually in a seated position. Doesn't mean he just sits there all the time. He can stand up. He can walk the corridors of heaven. But his spiritual position of authority is seated next to the Father in heavenly places. And it says here, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him, or you could say seated him, at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above. I like this. Could you say this with me? Far above?
Far above.
Yes. Far above all principality and power, might and dominion. Now he's naming, these are classifications of demonic spirits. We'll also see that in another place, which we won't go into, that there are places like Colossians that list and talk about, these order of angelic spirits. And other, many other different places. So, you know, angelic spirits are now, or demons are the once angelic spirits. There's not a created race that fell and their spirits are, becomes demons now and all that kind of stuff that gets real crazy. Stay away from that. But there was a fallen heaven and, those spirits now are in a ruling class. And Paul gives us an insight into the ruling class and what he just went through in those four different classifications that he listed just there. And he says here, far above these, and he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then if you'll skip over to chapter 2, verse 6, it tells us something about ourself. We first see Christ seated and ruling above all of these things. demonic spirits. And now in verse 6 it says, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say with, it actually says in. And that is important because it's not just that we're with him. If we're in him, we're with him. But if we're in him, then we have all of the authority that he has. Hallelujah. So if he's seated and he's ruling, then we ourselves are seated with him or in him and then with him. And we can actually, we're ruling. They're at his feet, then they're at our feet. Hallelujah. And we have to see ourselves, and we have to really not just see ourselves mentally, but we have to receive a spiritual endowment from the Holy Spirit to really begin to walk in a life of Christianity that sees ourselves even at your most inopportune time, even when you feel crushed, even when you feel like, man, this doesn't feel like I'm in control. Well, you're not in control. God's in control, but God in you is in control. And you have to live out of that place. And in your emotions, however you feel, doesn't dictate the moment of authority. Your outside person, male or female, might be feeling the effects of the moment, but you just dip back inside, stand in that place, and rule out of that place of authority, which is Christ in you. Hallelujah. Now let's look at discerning of spirits as we just read it out of the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The word discerning here is diakrisis, and it means to discern. It just means to discern. Another root word out of Thayer's that was very close to this that came out of that same word means to separate, to make a distinction. You can make a distinction, discriminate, to prefer. I'm not going to probably read all of these, but maybe most of them. To learn by discrimination, to try, to decide, to determine, give judgment, decide a dispute, to withdraw from one desert, to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to oppose, strive, dispute, to contend, to be at variance, I read them all, with oneself, to hesitate or to doubt. Most commentaries, this is where we have to go. We're going to go into two places in this short series. Maybe it'll be two, maybe it'll be three. He gave me a bunch to go in different scriptural examples, both in the old and the new. And I like to take old and new because I believe that's the best way to stay very balanced and stay in the Word of God. But what we see here is that most commentaries will tell you, and I don't dispute this, will tell you that the ability of distinguishing or discerning of spirits, most commentaries will tell you that it's the ability to distinguish true and false prophets. And that is not wrong, but it is not the entirety of the gift by no means. And I'll just cite some verses. You don't have to turn there. You could if you want to follow, but a few verses that really go along with that school of thought is that it is discerning between who is teaching or prophesying sound or unsound doctrine. And 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And again, you go on for days in any one of these particular passages. If you want more on that, see 1 John series by Gary Carpenter. Matthew 24:4-5 says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. This is going to be very important that we not only have a discerning spirit, but that we also walk in the gift of discernment of spirits. It's important that you walk in a place where your entire spiritual being is acclimated to discerning everything around you and people around you and people in the church around you. Now, give me this. You have to understand, the more you know somebody, people that you know for years, You can pretty much, they've proven themselves. You can pretty much relax or understand. But it's always important that we, in all times in life, we walk in spiritual discernment. Amen? So he says here in Matthew, another one that is another one along that lines of judging false prophets or those that will speak in his name. In verse 24 of 24, Matthew, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In other words, there's going to be such deception in the last days that, you know, what have we been talking about lately? What have you been hearing other people talk about? Very possibly Pastor Jim. I know Gary's been talking a lot about the false Jesus or the fake Jesus or the phony Jesus. And we've done some messages along that now, you know, as well recently. But it's very, very important as we get closer to the end that we all desire and lust after discerning of spirits. That this gift, not only to have your spirit as it is able to discern, you know, that's one of the marks, you know, over there. The book of Hebrews tells us that those that are on meat are able to discern both good and evil. They can discern back and forth. They understand the approach of things. And it's because they are not on milk, but on meat. And because they themselves are able to distinguish between good and what seems to be good or that which is evil. So I want to transition here just a little bit. And this is where I want to take you this morning. Can we see this now? This is what I want to say. It's a question, but I think this is where we're headed. Can we see this gift as seeing or discerning? And I'm saying, can we see it? Can we see it by the Word of God? Seeing or discerning into the spirit realm, not just saying, okay, what I'm hearing is, yes, truth or it's not truth. And it's going to take, in these last days, really have a real strong gift of discerning of spirits. But let's use Jesus as an example, scripture-wise, to looking at discerning of spirits. And I'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 1 together. And I think one we're going to see here is discerning of spirits. How many believe that Jesus is our prototype? I'm going to re-ask you a question. Yes, he is. And he walked in all the gifts except a couple for certain reasons. And so he's our prototype on all the gifts of the Spirit. We see the gifts of the Spirit continually. You know, boy, who had the most mature gift of working of miracles? Amen? I mean, it just flowed out of him. It just flowed. When we say that the gifts will flow at will, we're not saying that we replace the gifts. It's from the Holy Spirit still, same Spirit. But the maturity of it is it just flows at will. It just flows. Like, you know, they came, oh, wow, so sorry, sir, I don't walk. You know, I would love to get you out of that wheelchair. Or I would love to, you know, that requires a gift of miracles or faith or healings. And I don't work in that one, but I know someone, but they're not here at church today. And, I think they'll be here back next week. They're on vacation. I tell you what, we'll schedule you. Come on. Did Jesus work that way? He never worked that way. He never said, I haven't got that gift yet. I am believing for that gift. And he always was like, what do you need? You know, like the fine dressed waiter that, like, you know, we serve everything here at this restaurant. And nobody's on vacation. You know, besides for that, if I wasn't here, we've got 15 ladies and gentlemen that can do this for you. Hallelujah. And you ought to be one of those ones in those ranks. I hope and pray and I believe God that I will be part of that. So look at Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70. Also, you know, he's appointed his 10, his 12, and sent them two and two before his face into every city, to every city and place whither he himself would come. Excuse me. That's what I need. Every place where he would come, what he would come. And therefore said he unto them, the harvest is great, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into his harvest. Go ye there, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Remember, he appointed them and he sent them into where? Cities, places, these particular cities where he was coming. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, scrip, shoes, salute no man in the way. And to whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be into this house. And if the Son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again, and it'll come back. It'll boomerang. It went out, but it comes back. And if the Son of peace be there, your peace shall rest. If not, it shall return again. And the same house remain. Okay. In the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as you are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you. But in whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your way out into the street of the same and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that in the kingdom of God is coming nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom for that city. But woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. Now this is important. And the 70 returned. Here they come. They come back. How many? I don't know how long they were gone. A week, 10 days, 2 weeks. They went into cities. They did things. This may have been a month-long excursion. I don't know how long it was. It had to be days. We do know this. It wasn't an overnight excursion. It had to be, I would say, in days or possible weeks. But they had a planned, I'm going to meet you 2 weeks from today. Everybody come back to this location. We'll kind of all come back. And people came in. These guys came in on a, you know, during that day, whatever day that was, that they were supposed to meet. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were ecstatic. Even the devils are subject. And he said unto them, look what he said unto them. I hope your Bible's open. I hope you're reading. I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Jesus says, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Jesus was speaking to them in regards to the current moment. Jesus doesn't get off track here and go into some kind of mode where he starts talking about, when he was in his full God state and he saw the original fall of Satan out of heaven. That would be totally uncontextual to what is being talked about. The disciples are coming back. They've done all this. They're ecstatic about what is taking place. And one of the things that they're very ecstatic about is that devils came out in your name. When we spoke your name, hey, Jesus, It worked just like it does for you and just like we've seen for the other 12 disciples. It worked for us. And so Jesus doesn't go off into something else. He's very current. He's talking about what he's in reply to what they are saying. He's speaking right back to them in regards to what he sees in the Spirit or what he saw in the Spirit. And Jesus said unto them, he said, let me go back to my page here that I turned too quickly because it was important that we read that. If I can get back there. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Does everybody see that? That was his reply. I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Jesus was speaking to them in regards to the current moment. Let's talk about the word I beheld, or the phrase I beheld. The word beheld here is theorio, and it means, get this, it means to discern. I discern this. It means to become a spectator or a discerner, or one who looks and to discern, to behold, to consider, to look, or to perceive. But I loved especially that it meant especially, or part of that was I discerned. How many of you believe and understand that the Holy Spirit gave him that discernment? He was able to see. And what Jesus said, that he uses this word theorio, which means to discern, but it also means to behold. It means to discern and behold. Jesus literally, help me here, listen. It literally said this. I discerned, I looked and saw into the spirit realm when you were casting out devils in these cities. And it appeared as lightning falling from the sky. Satan's dominion was being broken. Hallelujah. So they say, they report to Jesus, and Jesus reports back to them. You saw something in the outward. Let me tell you what I saw in the inward, or the spiritual realm. You saw this. I saw this. Here's a confirmation to what you just did. You cast out devils. What I saw while you were out there casting out devils, I saw into the spirit realm, and I saw Satan's dominion over these cities being crushed as a result of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit being manifest. And then he goes on to say, behold, I give you power, right in the same words and context, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, this is a question for all of us, and it's a point. It's a question, but it's a point to be made. What will seeing, as in the spirit realm, as in discerning of spirits, and I think this is one example, and I'm going to give you several more before this is over, so you'll really trust that it's part of discerning of the spirits. Discerning of spirits gift is seeing into the spirit realm, not just hearing information and discerning whether that is coming from a viable or truthful source, but it also carries with it another valuable aspect, and that is seeing into the spirit realm. And so what will seeing or discerning, what will it do for us or do for our faith in spiritual warfare for your city or even for your nation? It's going to be invaluable, I can tell you this. It will also equip you by the Holy Spirit to station, if we're seated in him, then with him, to station angels against demonic movement. Now let's get an Old Testament example, because I like old and new, new and old. Let's go to the Old Testament, and let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Hallelujah. And I will tell you this, this is an Old Testament example. You say, well, we're talking about New Testament Holy Ghost gifts. That's exactly right. But all of the gifts of the new are shadowed in the old, except you don't see anybody praying in tongues or interpreting tongues. You'll see prophecy, healings, working some miracles, all those kinds of things. And we're going to look at something here that I believe stays on line with what we're teaching this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent, now this is something besides for what he was doing. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So it was a repeat. Sounds like more than twice, maybe three, four, several different times. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So let's stop here in case you're not getting this. Syria is in war against Israel. So we got a big war going on here. Elisha is the predominant prophet of the day. And the Syrians set traps, ambushments at different times. This may have gone on for months. Because they knew where the Israelites were going to be. They felt this is where they're going to be at. Army movements. We're going to set a trap. They get there and they're not there. And it's like, this intelligence? Who's giving them, this is somebody, and this is going on. I'm sending out, the king of Syria is sending out these missings, these things that are supposed to go out. He's sending them out. These are top secret. And these top secret files somehow are getting, they're getting hacked. It's like a computer hacker is hacking these. And he's like, there's somebody like in my generals here that is for them. I don't know who's for them, but this is not coincidental. I can't trap these people. And so he calls all of his commandants together. And he's like, show me which one of us is for Israel. And one of his servants, verse 12, said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchambers. In other words, he knows everything. And he's getting this from God or Holy Spirit. And then he's conveying it to the king. And then it's none of us. There's no treason here, except we can't do anything about the prophet that is there. And he's Holy Ghost hacking here. And, he's getting into everything. I mean, bedchamber, your bedroom, that's as close as it gets to, and he says he's telling the king whatever you say. I mean, that's like scary business. Okay. And he said, go spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. So they found out where he was at. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city. So how many's in this? I don't know. Hundreds? Thousands? I'm not sure. But a lot. And it says here, they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do so this morning? And the servant of this prophet, these prophets usually kept these guys that would cook for them and wash for them so they could pray and hear from God and prophesy. And write prophecies. So this guy gets up probably to go get some water to cook breakfast. I don't know. Or milk a cow or do whatever he's doing. And the sun's coming up and he's caught off guard because he looks and the hill around the city and the hills around the city are just blanketed with soldiers and with chariots and with horses. And so he scurries back in, he runs back in and he tells Elisha, he calls him master, the hills are full of soldiers. They have surrounded us. Syrian soldiers, not Israeli soldiers. And it says here, what are we going to do? He says, you know, he's beside himself. And he answered, he said to him, fear not. For they that be with us, now this is a classic line, and we've heard this, we repeat this, and many people don't even know where it comes from. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? They're more with us than those that are against us. Well, that word of encouragement might have been good. Okay, we're going to be okay. Those that are for us are more than those that are be against us. That's great, Elisha, but we're about to be killed because you see this? There's hundreds of these guys, and they're just waiting for daylight. We can see through the fog now, and we can see that they are all around us. And so they're just waiting for daylight. And so I'm really not so encouraged by your words that it's all going to be okay. And there's a lot more of them. You know, a lot more of them. But what is Elisha speaking by? Well, he's speaking by discerning of spirits or looking into the spirit realm. The word here in the Hebrew, of course, that he may see, that phrase, he may see, and to take the word see is the word ra'ah. Ra'ah literally means, and it's a lot, I put a lot in here, but I want to center in on it means to appear or it means to discern. I've got those two particularly circled. In other words, it brings us right back to our subject matter. Help him to discern or see into the spirit realm what I'm seeing. And I don't know, I'm thinking Elisha did see it, but maybe he just knew it. But nevertheless, he asked God or the Holy Spirit to open his spiritual eyes to discern or to cause that which was really to appear. And when they came, he says here that he asked the Lord prayed. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes. The word, his eyes that he may see is the word raha. And the Lord opened his eyes and the young man Raha saw, see and saw, same word. And behold, the mountain was full. This is why Elisha could say, there are more of them for us. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Hallelujah. That made a difference. Now the young man's, okay, we're good. We are really good. And when they came down, it says in verse 18, that Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with a blindness. It was temporary. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now the story goes on. We won't go into that. He led them into Samaria. They lifted the blindness. They fed them and sent them back to Syria. And it was a great, that's the end of that story particularly. But here's an observation I want us to make from this. And I think it's important for this part of our teaching this morning. One, here's some observations concerning this particular story and truth. The reality of the spirit realm, everybody still with me? I believe you are. The reality of the spirit realm was there before the young man could see it. That's important for all of us. It's there before he could see it. We have to take on this spiritual disposition. You have to, and I think this is where I'm asking you to take on a spiritual, pray that this happens to you, to take on a spiritual disposition to know that things are around you, they're happening in the spirit realm, even though you can't see it. They really are. It took the Holy Spirit to open his eyes that were already, his eyes were already opened, physical eyes were already opened, to see into the spirit world. Both physical and spiritual eyes are sometimes employed in discerning of spirits. Now, I have in my notes here the example by one of the things that I remembered with Pastor Dave. He used this particular example of discerning of spirits back years ago. And I don't have time to go into the full lesson on that, but it was a service where he got up to preach. Not like this one. You guys are pulling with me, but he said every word that he said was dropped on the floor. It was like, yuck. And I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of a speaker to speaking to a crowd that really generally loves you, but then in that service, it looks like they would rather be anyplace else in the world than listening to your voice. But he said every word was boom, boom. It just had no, it was like, you know, no helium in those balloons. They were lead balloons. They went to the floor. And he said it was just a naughty, nasty kind of atmosphere, and in the sense of the word, no anointing. It felt like it was no anointing. And he said that at the end of the service, he closed the service, and of course, if you're a speaker, you know that you just can't wait to go recuperate, lick your wounds, and pray to God that you'll survive for another day. And because you've been in a war. You've been in a war the whole time. And he says that when he was starting to leave, people were, they were dismissing, and they, you know, the congregation was, you know, getting out. And he said that he was standing here like where I'm at. And he said he looked over to his right, unbeknowing and unexpectedly. He looked over to his right, and I know where he, because he pointed it out several times when I was there at different conferences. And there was an exit sign on the far corner of the building. And he said he looked over there at the exit sign. Now, here's the thing, and here's what happens a lot of times, and I'll explain later even more so on discerning of spirits. Because we're talking about not just now, we have graduated a little bit, not just to discerning what you're listening to, whether it is life or death, truth or fallacy, but now looking into the spirit realm. A lot of times looking into the spirit realm is not just like a vision where everything else goes away. That morning, everybody was still, that morning or evening, when I think it was a morning service, everybody was still in the picture. Everybody could be seen. But as he looked over, there was a tall fellow or somewhat in a, what would be looked like a Tibetan monk, robe. And he was standing there, and his face was somewhat covered. He could tell that he was, it looked like he was partly balding kind of, you know, kind of guy, but you could not see all of his face. But he's like, you know, shock a little bit, like, where'd that guy come from? What's he doing, you know, in our church or in our congregation? And the guy's just standing over, and it's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit, but Dave called it a principality power, ruler of darkness, a ruler of darkness that rules over darkness in particular regions. He said the observation, or the guy was there like observing. And then with people walking around and him seeing you and me and whoever was there, his eye, he's looking, but he doesn't know that he could see him. He hasn't picked up, the spirit doesn't know that he has, that Dave's able to see. And of course, I hope you understand that there's angels in this room. They're working with us. Sometimes devils come in and, you know, do whatever they want to do to, or try to disrupt. But they know that you can't see them. But in a discerning of spirit situation, your eyes in the natural don't just blink out and you don't see natural things. Then there's a dualistic. You can look both in the natural and in the spirit. This guy still hasn't realized he is being seen. Then Dave's eyes are even all the more open because he looks and there are several, he didn't say how many, there are several smaller, he called them yammering spirits. They're smaller and devils, which were once classification of angels. They were all created in different sizes and shapes. And, you know, there's some of them that, well, we won't get into all that. But read, it's incredible when you read Revelation, you know, 4 and 5, the different shapes and sizes and all that stuff of angels and what some of them look like. Some lion, some this, some that. But they're all angels. But anyway, he saw these smaller ones just running around. Everybody's fine because I'm starting to get warm. Where's Marty? Where's Marty? Where's Marty? So he saw all these little ones kind of running around. And they were running up to people, especially people in the one section, and they were whispering something to them. And as they were saying something to them in the spirit realm, the spirit realm was then being translated over into the natural realm. In other words, they could hear it from their spiritual ear, but then it was being interpreted to their natural mind. Do you understand that? That's how when you have a real vile thought sometimes and you know that it's like, now your mind can make up stuff, but sometimes you know when a devil comes in because, well, he speaks from the spirit realm, but it's translated through your spiritual ear gate, and then it comes through to your natural mind. But these guys, however many there were, they were running up to these individuals, and they were saying to them, they were just saying this, and they were saying, there's something wrong in this place. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong about this message. There's something wrong about this message. Well, he saw this, and those, they didn't know. He didn't know, and he's like, this is the first time he's ever been in discerning of spirits like this, and it's like, he was like watching it, but it was telling him what it was that was shutting down the service. And then he said, in the natural, here we go, we kick back out of the spirit realm into the natural now. Then those, there was, I don't know how many of them there were. If people from Tulsa are watching and you've heard this so many times, if you were around in Dave's years, there was a bunch of people that left the church that day. And several of them, other people heard them in the parking lot. And they heard them. How are we doing back there, Harry? We're good? Okay. When Harry goes, I don't like to see Harry ever get up from his seat for no reason at all. And so the people were watching or listening, and they heard people in the park. They could overhear people in the parking lot saying, you know, there's something wrong about what's going on here. There's something wrong with this message. And did you know that whole group of people eventually left the church? And it was a transfer of demonic influence that began to persuade people. But for our lesson today, it was the purpose of how demons, if they can be seen, then the other part of, then they can truly be all the more fought against with a very direct understanding. As long as you think, Brother Joe is just saying that, or Brother Sister Jesus said to Peter, you don't know what spirit you're, you know. No, he said to John, you know, he said to John and James, you don't know what spirit you are of. And then he also said to Peter, get thee behind me. Yeah, you don't know what. Yeah, same thing. Same thing. So at times he had to say to his disciples, you're listening to one of those that are standing beside you. They're standing beside you. There's a human element of flesh. There's demonic spirit. So we're teaching and relying on or talking about these particular things. Stay with me for just a little bit more because we've got a lot more to come in the next few weeks, and I'm excited about even teaching more about this. Hallelujah. That's the first obligation was, I mean, the first observation was that the reality of the spiritual realm is there even before we can see it. Now, the second observation in what we just read concerning Elisha is that there are both, this is just practical. I'm not going to charge you for this. This is just really practical. They're both physical horses and spiritual horses in the spirit realm. Isn't that amazing? Aubrey, there's horses in the spirit realm. She's got a horse, okay? Jesus is coming back on a horse. He must like riding horses. Okay, this is beside the point. Revelation 19. The third observation, number three, is this. In the spirit realm, two things can occupy the exact same area or space all at the same time. Now, I'm not going to try to get into all kind of third and fourth and fifth dimension stuff. Gary had some really great stuff on that. But that guy being the young man, when he came out, the first time he saw was the physical. The second time he saw was the spiritual. Do you know, this is in the dynamics of this natural realm that which we live in. Only this pulpit can occupy this particular space. To put something else in this space, you'd have to remove this pulpit. But that's not what it's like in the spirit realm. An angel can be standing right here beside me where this pulpit is at, because the molecular structure that he exists in, if you want to say it that way, is a totally different realm than the realm that we are living in. Why are you saying all this for us? For the purposes of understanding that we acclimate ourselves all the more in these last days to a level of discerning of spirits, to know that in the same room that we live in, or in the same area that we live in, can also be angelic and demonic forces occupying the same room at the same time. And hallelujah, we win, because there's a lot more for us than be against us. Hallelujah. Number four, Elijah being able to look into or discern, and we brought up that Hebrew word to discern, into the spirit realm gave him incredible confidence that was to be transferred to his servant. If you can, and I'm not saying all of us are just all the time going to walk around and see into the spirit, but if in the greatest battles of your life, and in times that you're going through hell on earth, and God opens up your eyes through discerning of spirits, and you see what's fighting you, and you say, "Hey, I thought it was just me," and you say, "Oh no, I see now." You're going to take on a vehemency of, I see what you're trying to do. Or you see those angelic classes that are warring for the purpose of us obtaining revival. And they're warring and they're saying, come on, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. Don't give up. All of this junk and hell and stupid stuff and infirmities that the devil is trying to throw at people, it's for the purpose of you staying natural. Don't stay natural. Go spirit. Don't stay natural. As long as you stay natural, you're going to be mad at somebody. You're going to be trying to figure out why this, why that. Go spirit, and then it all makes sense. Hallelujah. It all makes sense then. All the glory to God. What will seeing or perceiving angels or demons in the future do for your faith? I think it'll just... it's gone. It's out of there. Number six, we saw from this two examples earlier in the New Testament, Jesus, and now we've looked at Old Testament examples. One of the demonic Jesus saw, and now one of the angels. Candy, come here, please, if you don't mind. I kind of prefaced you on. Candy shared something with me 20 years ago. And it was in the spirit realm, kind of. And then it may sound kind of simple to start with, but it had some profound effects on her and myself. And just share, and you know, don't have to hurry, but just share what you shared with me privately. I don't know, must have been 20 years ago concerning the horse. You remember the
okay. So It wasn't long. I don't think maybe just a few years after we had moved here. I don't know. But I went to lie down, and it was in the middle of the day. And I didn't go to sleep. I was just laying there. And then all of a sudden, I just began to hear the sound. I didn't see anything, but I could hear the sound of a horse galloping really fast. And it was coming from an area that when I was lying in my bed, I could sense it coming from way over that way. Out that way somewhere. And it just kept, sound kept getting closer and closer. And I'm thinking, I'm not asleep, I'm awake. And I could, it kept hearing it, and it was coming closer and closer and faster and faster. And it just kept coming, you know, like a horse running real hard. And it was a big horse. It was like, I don't know, Clydesdale or one of the bigger horses. And I don't know why I heard it. I just know that there was a great peace. It wasn't scaring me. And it just was coming, and it's like it came right through the church, right through the backyard of our house, and right through our house, and it just kept going. And then it faded away. And all I could discern from it was that I think that's the Lord letting us know that he's here. And he just ran through the whole place. And it was just peaceful. That was it.
Somebody might say, well, what's the moral of the story? Where's the end of it? I can tell you what the end of it is and what the moral of the whole thing is that God will often acclimate us to the spirit realm reality for future direction and authority. And he wants to acclimate us. I saw when she told me later, she goes, I had an experience and I was not asleep. It was not a dream. She said, I heard this thing and it came right through our house. This horse ran right through our house, galloping. And she said, it didn't scare me. Like she said just now, it didn't scare me, but I knew that it was something that was in the spirit realm and came from the Lord. The church lives too much in the natural realm of awareness. We were created to live in both the natural and the spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and then we're going to close in just a moment. And I had a video, but I think we're going to forego that. Thanks, Harry. Now I know why he's back there. He's such a servant to God, not to me. But I appreciate all he does. He was getting ready to have that. But I think time-wise, we won't be able to share that. But I think this is more important. I had an experience that I know now, 20 years later, or however many, was a discerning of spirits. And the Lord brought this up to my attention this week. I might have, that I've ever shared this publicly. I don't think I have. So this is something new. And I waited 20 years to share it. Okay, so set on a long time. I'm pretty sure I shared it with my wife, but I don't think I've ever shared it publicly. And to share it, I have to say some things, not using names, and to say in preface, I love this person. And most of you now are newbies since. But at one time, I hired a man that was supposed to be my administrator, and he worked very close with me. And later, some things happened. Well, let me say this. I need to say this. Whenever you find out a story, and the story goes somebody turned rogue, and they went a wrong way, don't ever just automatically assume that, well, they deceived the person, and they were always that way. Now, that can be the case in some instances. But everybody on the planet, human beings, always have a will to do. They can change at any time. Usually it's progressionary change if they go really rogue, but they can change at any time. And the greatest validation to this argument that I'm saying right now against any, I mean, it's, this is hands down, this destroys any argument that says, well, they were always, and once they're that way, that they're really always that way, and you just couldn't see it. God created Lucifer. Now, he didn't put a glitch in him that was a speck of darkness that would one day materialize into something rogue. If you believe that, then you are messed up, because you believe that in him, the word says, is no darkness at all. And so God created a perfect angel that in, I don't know, maybe it was centuries, maybe it was millennials, that took him a graduation to a thought process that led him away, that took him from zero darkness to complete darkness. So I'm saying that in preface to, when I hired this person, I really believe that he was walking in light, but probably still struggling. And most people, I mean, even people that know things, don't know what I know. Some of the things that I discovered and that I could not share. And I'm not trying to make even a more ugly picture. I'm just saying, before I let him go, fired him, there were some really bad things that took place. And I'm just thankful it did not affect the church, didn't get us into legal problems, just a lot of different really situations. But prior, I don't know how long prior to, I can't, this leaves me. So I don't have any kind of handle to give on this. There was a time, and it was in a service, and this I do remember. I didn't dream this. It wasn't a vision. This was a, now I know, it was a discerning of spirits. But I was so novice in this particular area at the time that I put it off as something else. I believe, I've pretty much always said over here, it was either, it, I will say this, I believe this, it was either in a group greeting, like we often have, or that I just looked over and he was someplace on this side of the service. And I think it might have been, I really do believe that it was one of the times where Dave was with us. And he was working for us, and he was working for the church. But it was prior, and I don't know how long prior to his fall. But I, it was either during the greeting or I looked over, and something happened. And I, my mind was as far away. I mean, I hadn't been thinking. You know, it's one thing if you're thinking on stuff and you're building something up, and then you have a, like you think, you see a picture or something like that, that's, your mind will produce that, is if you've been dwelling on something. But if you're like a million miles away and you're worshiping God and you're not even thinking about it, I looked over at this individual and there was a glitch. You know how you're like a computer glitch, or you're watching TV and you go, what? What was that? I mean, the scene changed and you saw something, but then you didn't really see it, but you know you did see something. And what you saw was like, God, that's ugly. That's demonic. That's nasty. That's, and when I either walked by him or hugged him or looked over, not even thinking, I glitched, and I sit back down in my seat, and I was like, honest to God, I thought it was Satan. I was like, you perverted devil, what are you doing trying to come in here? And because what I saw was just, it was, that person's face changed, they entirely changed, and they were something that was really naughty. They were really, and I realized later, after his fall, that I glitched into the spirit realm for just a moment, and I saw where this man was at, where he was truly at, not what his facade was to the church. And because I was new and God didn't necessarily, I mean, it didn't hurt anybody. He didn't walk out of here hurting anybody, taking any money or destroying any, you know, I mean, the home, there was a home destroyed, but it was his own. But had I known what I know now and did not dismiss it as demonic, the Lord later revealed to me that was some of your first introduction into discerning of spirits. You saw in the spirit realm what the person really was, where they were at, versus the facade they were putting on to the church. And this is where we have to walk in these last days. This is the place that you have to walk, I have to walk, where we're fooled by no embrace, that we love one another, but no matter who comes into our midst or who is in our midst, that we walk in discerning of spirits. And it's not always to say anything. Hey, I sat on that for 20 years. That's a pretty good long time. If you're, I can tell you something about gifts. Not that I've arrived, but if you're a blabbermouth, it's not going to, if you can't conceal things, you're not going to be seeing into the spirit. You'll make up things that you said, I saw this, I saw that. No. If you're a blabbermouth, but if you can conceal things and then pray for people. But if I'd have known now about what I understand about discerning of spirits, I would have went back into my prayer time and said, God, because I, when this man started really doing some bad things, some of it was a surprise to me, but it was not supposed to be, because I'd already glitched in the spirit realm and went into discerning of the spirits. Now, this is more meat, right? This is not milk. This is for grown-ups. And this will help us in these last days. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, glory. Hallelujah. You want to lead us in one? We'll go out of here. We're going to make ourselves happy. No, aren't you happy about growing up? I'm just happy about growing up and just being strong in the spirit and the power of his might. And we're all going to go together. I tell you, everybody in here that's under the sound of my voice, I'm convinced we're all going to go together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love all of you so much. So just lead us in a chorus. Let's just worship God for just a moment. I speak to the camera. I love you. Go along with us on this journey. Hallelujah. We love you so much. We appreciate your praying for us. We worship you. Lead us, Harry. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Worship you. Yes, Jesus.
Feel this place.
Jesus.
Oh Lord, surround me. Oh Lord, let your presence fill this place. Let your
presence. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you just cry out, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. He'll wash you. Go at our website. We have 10 lessons to teach you how to walk, where to go to the Word of God, the Bible you should pick up, where you start reading in the Bible, how to pray in tongues, receive the Holy Spirit, speak the Word of God over your life, and keep going forward. We love you all. And we will see many of you here physically tonight, and some of you online that will sit with us in the prayer room. God bless you all. Amen.